Ron Paul versus the IRS. This is Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast, a presentation of Money and Markets, moneyandmarkets.com. I'm Charles Goyette. The IRS is demanding information about contributors to Ron Paul's nonprofit tax-exempt organization, the Campaign for Liberty. No one who donates to Campaign for Liberty receives a tax deduction. The IRS is not entitled to the information, and Dr. Paul is not willing to let his donors be the targets of political retribution from the IRS. So let's start at the beginning, Ron. When did the IRS demand information from you? What did they ask for, and what was their justification?
Well, they've been asking for a couple years now. They requested all the names of the donors 2 years or so ago. And we had our accountant write back and tell them that we didn't have to. And they said, well, but there's a regulation on the books that says that you have to do this. But it gets a little bit confusing because there's been two court cases. One went all the way to the Supreme Court in 1958, the NAACP versus Alabama. And the Supreme Court says you don't have to release these names. And that's generally what's been followed. So virtually all the C4 organizations do not have to send these names in. But after we sent that to them 2 years ago, they didn't bother us anymore, which we thought, well, maybe they're responding to some reason. But with the activities of the IRS that we've been all hearing about in the news on how they've been attacking certain organizations, we weren't too surprised that they came back to us again just a couple months ago demanding the same thing. So we've told them that we're not giving, you know, up the names, but this time they've gone a little bit further. They've levied a penalty of almost $13,000 with daily increases on this until we turn over the names. So we're in the middle of this argument. So we sent essentially the same letter back again and arguing our case that we don't have to. But somebody said, well, maybe this is just a coincidence. And, you know, bureaucrats are inefficient. It has nothing to do with conspiracies. But, you know, with everything that's going on in the news and what's happening with the IRS, it's hard to believe that they wouldn't try to pick out certain organizations. We've heard of people who are applying for tax-exempt status are being denied, but none of the liberal groups are being denied. So it's readily apparent, I believe, that the IRS is being used as a political tool. But should we really be shocked? I mean, wow, who would have ever dreamed of such a thing? I think most people who pay any attention to this realize that this kind of thing has been going on. It may be worse than ever. It may be more pervasive than we've ever seen before. But, you know, we've heard stories all the way back to Nixon and even before that. My guess is that ever since we've had the income tax, some of this has been going on. But it just happened to hit us now at a time when the IRS is not in, you know, good steads with the American people. But we're not overly confident. I mean, we're taking this very seriously. And, you know, the real irony is that to fight this stuff, to prove that we're innocent and to prove that we're on the side of the Constitution, costs a lot of money. So it's a terrible thing to have to go through. So we're in the middle of a court case with them. The best on the short run that we can hope for is that they come back or ignore us. Last time, they never acknowledged that we didn't have to comply. They just ignored us until this time. So it's sort of always in limbo. So I'm hoping we can at least get there and maybe not have to spend so much money. But it's a terrible dilemma because there are some people, the one that had an internet service was hound-dogged, and he was told to turn over the names instead of, in his refusal, he literally had to shut down in order to protect the privacy of his customers. So those are terrible positions to be put into, and this is what's facing. But we've gotten a little bit of attention, and it's something that even if we win a token victory here in the next 6 months or so, and we neither have to pay a fine nor have to turn over the names, I would say that the problem has not been solved. Obviously, this is going to be around the bureaucracy, whether it's the IRS or other agencies of government. They become tremendously offensive to so much of what we're doing and interfering with the productivity of this country, that it's a reflection of the nanny state, this gigantic bureaucracy, big government, and nobody knowing exactly what's going on, and the use of government to punish friends and reward, punish the enemy and reward their friends. And I think that's what we're a victim of right now.
It certainly disturbs me that that resources of the Campaign for Liberty, as well as staff time and so on, are diverted from the important jobs, the things like fighting the Fed, demanding an audit of the Federal Reserve. They are diverted from those worthy causes and spent defending yourself from the bottomless pit of an attack by the federal government.
Yeah, and they're very powerful. They have some tools there that we don't have. Matter of fact, they have the very tools that we're trying to undermine, so they, you can understand very easily why we are, you know, their enemy. And the one thing about a monolithic state and an empire is truth is something they don't want to hear. Truth undermines their credibility, and the government's credibility is on the wane right now. So they don't want an outlet. They don't want educational organization. You know, most organizations are compelled to, you know, have an educational organization, a lobbying organization, a business organization, a political organization. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a country that you could be engaged in education and politics and maybe just have one organization? You know, that's, but of course, then if we had a society that permitted that, we probably wouldn't have a great need to to curtail the government. But I imagine there will always be a need to do that, because the temptation to abuse government power and the regulations that they have is so great that we have to be vigilant. And sometimes we only become vigilant and annoyed and fight these cases after the fact. And I've been arguing for years that one of the reasons we're in this mess is that freedom has given us a great deal, a great many blessings in this country and a lot of prosperity. But then we forgot about what freedom was all about. But the wealth was so great that we've been able to live off it and live off this perceived value of our dollar. And we got to coast, and it became more profitable to manipulate government and be on the inside. And as we did this, we spent more money, the country became bankrupt, and the understanding of where true wealth comes from, it doesn't come from a printing press. Most people, you know, think that the salvation of our country and the salvation of our current economic mess that we have, especially these last 5 years, was the ability of the Fed to create money. Yet the only thing that provides wealth for a country is freedom for people to produce and save and invest and suffer both the benefits and the consequences of making mistakes or making the right judgments. So we have forgotten about that, but there's a concerted effort right now by many, and of course our organizations that I'm so much involved in, but there are many, many others now. This is the wonderful thing that's happening. Many organizations, the internet provides us an opportunity to spread the message. The greatest danger I see right now is if they're able to curtail the internet, which I'm sort of betting they won't be able to. I think it's too big, even though you may well be harassed by the NSA and other organizations and other government agencies. But ultimately, we have the government on the defensive. I think that is very good. And we who defend individual liberty and free markets, I think we're moving into the offense. And that's why we can expect exactly what we're getting, you know, the harassment from government and the attempt to close us all down.
The evidence seems overwhelming at this point, though, that the IRS has selected targets for political retribution, specifically targets that are conservatives and so on. Am I wrong to expect the Congress to have done something to stop this at this point?
Well, I don't know of anything specifically that they have done. I think the problem so often in Washington is that mostly the things that we hear, the rhetoric and the arguments between the Republicans and the Democrats and being totally different, aren't really so. And the leadership, to get in the top leadership positions, whether it's the House or the Senate or courts or, you know, into the administration or into the executive branch, they all go along to get along. So what they want to do is control what's going on. They don't want reform. So I don't think tomorrow, the next day, all of a sudden you're going to have repealing of these bad laws and really reining in the IRS and reining in NSA. I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric and there's a lot of pretense, and maybe here and there you'll see some progress, but ultimately too many people in Washington are dependent on the system, and they like the system, they endorse the system. That's why the answer to these kind of problems usually come outside of the system. And in some ways, we're starting to see that, where they're talking more about states nullifying federal laws and just ignoring the federal government. I'd like to see the day when there's more nullification of law itself, which was a basic principle in our early history. When a law gets by, the whole system, and it's an unfair, unjust law, just because it's the law doesn't mean a jury has to convict people. Take, for instance, the IRS. If they're putting people away in jail for some IS violations, and the jury feels like the law was poorly written, or a drug law, putting somebody in prison for a lifetime and never committed a violent crime, I mean, juries should rule differently on this. And this is the discussion that's going on, and this is the reason why it's worth resisting government. That doesn't mean I don't believe in the political action of getting as many people in Washington as possible to talk about our message and promote it and try to get legislation passed. Ultimately, it's what the people want and think about, and what they endorse. And when they can get a free lunch constantly and they can be on, live off the gravy train, you know, it's pretty hard to change their mind. But that is what is changing. And that's why I think the younger generation are starting to, you know, reflect on what we've been trying to do, because they know there's something really messed up when all they're getting as they leave school is debt and no job. So they better wake up and realize that there is a better option.
So we've learned from the news that the IRS actually has given bonuses to employees, as much as $1 million, according to one account, to employees who have failed to pay their own income taxes.
Boy, that sounds like a pretty good job. What if you were in a business and you failed to produce and you really messed up? The boss comes in and say, hey, this is exactly what we want to reward you for. So we don't want you to be discouraged. So even though you've really messed up, we're going to give you a bonus. But it's even worse when government does it, because these are the same people that if you or I did it, we might end up with a hefty fine. Some people might end up in prison. But here the government agents, you know, do the same thing. They don't pay their taxes, and then they get rewarded for it. You know, my idea isn't being tougher on these enforcements. It's to get rid of it. You know, not only relieve us of the burden of the IRS agents, you know, who are in the private sector, and not worrying about what should the punishment be. Well, the punishment ought to be that they all ought to get fired, and we ought to have a much better tax system, which means much less taxes and a much different government. That, again, should be to our benefit. Those of us who are fighting this system, is how outrageous it is. And that is an outrageous story, where the IRS agents don't pay their taxes and then they get a bonus. That has to be the wildest story ever.
And finally, can you just give us a short description of the Campaign for Liberty and its objectives?
Well, the whole thing about the Campaign for Liberty, it is a C4 organization, which means that we have the legal right to actually go to Congress and say, pass certain legislation. It was the organization that at the grassroots level organized and got support at the grassroots level for auditing the Fed. Because although that was my bill, I was not, you know, part of the establishment. So I had to get the pressure from outside on individual congressmen. And that was passed twice in the House of Representatives, with essentially all the Republicans and a lot of Democrats. So that is the way Campaign for Liberty works. It's a political action group, and it puts pressure on Congress from the people to try to clean up their act. And of course, we will continue to do our best to rein in the IRS and the Federal Reserve.
Well, good luck in your battle with the Internal Revenuers, and thank you, Dr. Paul. Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast, a presentation of Money and Markets, moneyandmarkets.com. I'm Charles Goyette. Thank you for listening.